Absolutely. Hotter.
What's happening to people holding it on a hold, like an
no,
arm?
No, no, no.
We have the tachan already.
We have the tachan already.
Now, besides we have bitachin, what interferes with our bitachin is the Yetzer Hara. He's the always the doubt that's coming in. So when we could recognize that easier, then that, you know, enhances the bitachin. It's coming in no matter what. Then what? Huh?
Okay, so this is so for the ones that for the newcomers and whatever to say, for those that don't remember from last week, as I say, we're learning Shad Achamishi. We were doing Shad Vatacha, which comes from a Sefer Chibas Lavavis, and the Sefer Chibas Lavavis has ten Shadim, if you want to know, and it calls it a Shad because it's a pathway through to the goal of to reaching the slave that everybody has of having Avos Hashem, and to reach there, he takes you to 9 steps. And the first step is that the oneness of Hashem, Shai Yichud, this is Shai Yichud HaMaisa. Yichud means the oneness of Hashem. Not only that Hashem exists, but nothing exists besides Him. And there's only true existence, and there's infinite, and it's forever. And then Shai Bechina, you can see, he teaches us how to see the goodness of Hashem in the world. And when you have those two things, then you come to a realization that you want to have the third Shai is the Shai HaVeidah, to be Eved Hashem. And then once you have Hashem, you see, again, and once you have Hashem, they have Shai Betochen. That means that the most important thing for Eved Hashem is to trust his master to give him what he needs. That's what Eved Hashem has to do. Eved Hashem. So we always speak about that. If a person starts out that I'm Eved Hashem, and therefore I'm trusting Hashem to give, the person has a tzara. The person has a tzara. He thinks it's a personal problem. It's an accident. It's a trauma. Whatever he thinks it is, something happened that shouldn't have happened. So then the question is, should he trust? Shouldn't he trust? How do you know it's good for him? All the questions. But if a person starts out that he's Eved Hashem, and then as an Eved Hashem, he needs to have the money. He needs to run his family, her family, and then he needs to have the health that they need, and he needs to have, they need to have the shidduch and the children, everything they need to say Hashem. So then they can have betochen in that area. And now what's Shai Chamishi? Now that we have betochen already. See, the question was, what happened to our betochen thing? So we have betochen already, or at least we know it's there. So now that we have that, we have to find out what is this Shad is about. And he explains what this is, and he puts it on top of page 2. I printed out this hard for me, this slept on his farm every week, and he defines what this chapter is all about. And because it's new, let's review it a few times so we are comfortable with what's going on. He said, I'm going to read it in English, although I'll show you again how the English is not really true to the right
at all. I'm
not going to say. Listen, the best we have right now, I can't translate because I don't know English myself. But what is devotion of actions to Hashem? What does that mean? So he said, it's not, you see, it should say, what is the oneness of action? Because he says he's going to define this. It is the intent in all revealed or hidden acts in the service of Hashem. When you're doing a revealed act, as you're doing mitzvah maisa, you're giving tzedakah, for example, you're lighting Shabbos candles, and a hidden act would be a feeling, a yiras Hashem. So this is one is revealed, that's hidden. And the hostess in the house is not here, but she always asks me to give a bracha. One needs a Yeshua in the to get freed from a prison, the other one needs to get freed from a hospital. They should bench them both. So he says, and it's the intent. So what's the intent? Here it is, to attain his favor. He writes favor, but really, if you look in Lashon Kodesh, it means lahagi el ritzonei, to reach to do his will. Why? I don't know how to get the word favor in there. And not only to do them, to win favor of other people. Because what happens is, as we're doing acts of mitzvahs, it's easy to confuse it or embellish it or to have intent. I'm doing it because other people should watch me. And if I'm going to give tzedakah because I'm going to get a good name, people will see I'm a very religious person, a very holy person, etc. So that to go away from that, from doing it for other reasons, or on the positive side, to reach the will of Hashem. Last week we spoke about what is a will. When you say the word mitzvah, Mesidas nefesh is typically used as the soul, which is the life of a person. And when you say Mesidas nefesh, typically you mean that a person was ready to give up his life. For example, not to din avodah zarah. So for goy sasayid, it just happens all the ages. Or when a person realizes that he's being told to do something which disconnects him from Hashem, like bound to avodah zarah, he can't do it. So he's ready to give up his life for Hashem. But the same words of mesidas nefesh is also used, or it's more applicable to our generation, when a person gives over his will to Hashem. Like we said, the Shabbat talk, we said that he brings the Mishnah, make his will your will. What's a will? power, in the person's willpower, and a person's, what a person wants is really where the person is at. But a person understands, that's how he understands it, they can change the take of tomorrow. Intellectual, seichel is a koyach a person has, and what he understands is very important. But where does a person give, where do you see where the person is at is in what he wants. What he wants is really he puts himself into. Nothing is a rotzin, a want that he does because that's what he wants, not because he wants to force something else. You see, that's the point. When you see a mitzvah as a rotzin Hashem, the word mitzvah is literally translated a commandment, an obligation, which it is. It's an obligation that person has. But a mitzvah is also referred to as rotzin Hashem. That's what Hashem wants. The mitzvah is what Hashem wants. So in that mitzvah, Hashem's essence is that mitzvah, because that's the reason using the word rotzin, that by doing that mitzvah, we're actually connecting to Hashem himself. And not as he reveals himself through understanding, and not reveals himself through the mitzvah is a rotzin. The same way when you want something, that's where you're at. That's the verse. So we said like to reach the Hashem's will. That's this whole shot is about how you get to do a mitzvah. Not because for this reason, not for flattery. He's very against flattery. Not for any other reasons, but they're doing Hashem's will. And actually, it fits with Bitachon. Remember why? Because when a person is working hard to do the Ratzon Hashem, then Hashem will do his Ratzon, right? Bitachon means that Hashem is doing something, a person is living his life. Hashem is created, a person is created by Hashem. And he sees that Hashem has put him in this situation. Avraham Avinu, this week's parash is Mamash, a perfect example. And what did Avraham Avinu want? All he wanted to do is Ratzon Hashem. And this happened, that happened. He kept on just asking himself, what does Hashem want me to do? And that's what he did. Lech Lecha. Every Nisayan was, he came bow down to an idol. So he was going to fire. Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. Sorry, it's taking away. He davens and Hashem, and Sorry, taking, he doesn't lose his betachon, his amunah. So this is, how do you reach there? How do you get to doing Ratzon Hashem? So in chapter 2, this is a review. He lists out, and if you look on the paper, he lists out 10 things. And I'm not going to review this week's class now. I'm just going to show this to you because we said that we want to get to number 10. What's number 10? In the achievement of this goal of being able to come to a point where you want to do Ratzon Hashem for no reasons. I want to do Ratzon Hashem, right? So, and that's the importance of a mitzvah. Every mitzvah, if you give it over to your children also, if you explain to yourself and to your child, a mitzvah is not, I'm checking off, I'm fulfilled an obligation, I have to, as a year, to have obligations, and I won't get Elam Haba, and it brings me bracha. I want to be connected to Hashem, but the only way you connect to Hashem is by doing his Ratzon. So then, that you can get there by the first 9. That's the first one is gate 1, the gate 2, gate 3, all these first 9 ones. The 10th one is a person has to realize that as he's going to do something, he's going to have emotions and feelings. He should know there's a Yetzirah going on. The Yetzirah that's going to inject in him other reasons why he wants to do it. Why? I can give tzedakah. Have the money, of course. I love Hashem. You get the money, but by doing that, I can also gain something. I can gain honor. I can gain power. Whatever. I can get control of a community. Whatever people do with money, and that's not the right way. I mean, that's maybe a strong example, but there's a lot of other examples in a person's life when he gets taken over by doing mitzvahs not for Ratzon Hashem. He does it for other reasons. What's the driving factor? The driving factor is a little Yetzer in our. That's what we learned today. And he says, he gives you the answer how to deal with it even before he gets into understanding what the Yetzirah is. And he says that whenever the Yetzirah stirs an urge in one's heart, a person should take counsel from his intellect and follow it, because Seichel by Chavis Alvavis, he said he defines the word Seichel, it means the Seichel of Torah, and take counsel with the Seichel of Torah to see how Torah understands it and not to follow the Yetzirah. So what he's saying, and this is actually very, very, very foundational advice in every matzav you find yourself in, is that a person is full of gets from time to time gets thoughts and emotions that are constantly blowing up in his head. If he just train himself to before he accepts any, to recognize he has that in him, he has the Yetzirah in him, and therefore before he accepts that emotion, before he accepts that our intellectual argument that an idea comes in his head, check it out how the state is it. Because when you recognize you have the Yetzirah, is not something you just teach little kids because you want to tell them why they're doing something bad and this. I don't know. Yetzirah is a real part of ourselves. It comes from our physical existence that we have worldly desires that comes from our physical existence. The neshama is another one. Hashem fuses both together, and that's why, so we have to, again, so the way to get to Ratzon Hashem is by clearly understanding you have a Yetzer HaRa. Okay, so now, I don't know if I told you the story of this, but I've told you the story before, but I had once an instance which really very clearly helped me, where I was in a little cell, and I overheard it over here. It was kind of loud. The door was mamish next to the phone, and I saw a lot of stupid conversations going on. What do you think you're talking about? They're not doctors and lawyers over here. And but this time, that particular person was speaking something which was a conversation I didn't want to hear, because it's something a Jewish person shouldn't listen to. And I was stunned that by the vulgar that it was. And for whatever reason, I was middle learning about the matter. I jumped up to see who said that. Like, why is he saying that? Who is that? And I'm learning, before I go do this, why do I want to see who it is? In the math clinic, I was learning about Gemara. Why do I want to go see who it is? And here just shows you how if you learn this, you're going to learn this now, you'll get to recognize the Sahara. You'll be able to start questioning and trying to find out what the source of things are. So in your mind, things work pretty quickly. In a quick second, I said to myself, of course, I want to see who this is, because he was very vulgar, he was very ugly, and I want to see who it is. So when I see him, I should ignore him, I should avoid him. And then I have to Eitzahara by the lie. Eitzahara never says the truth. He doesn't know how to. And because that's who he is. He's Ra. He's always there for a reason. He wants to take care of Hashem. He can't take care of Hashem. He may embellish something with a little bit of truth, but ultimately he wants to move you off. So I avoid everybody. I wasn't going to see this guy because I had to see who to avoid. So then I realized, why do I mitzvah have this urge? Something I had this hitter to go see. So I'm showing you how this thing Ramash works. And ultimately, I came to an understanding. So I'm standing at midair. I'm standing, I'm trying to figure this out. And it hits me very simple, because if I see the guy, I recognize company Yitzhar, it was easy to figure out. So what does he want? Doesn't want to help me, wants to hurt me. So the verb is, if you hear something, it's easy to forget. And that's how I spoke yesterday in school for about technology. We're talking about seeing. It's easy to forget things easier. If you hear something, you just don't think about it and you forget it. And Hashem, like he says in Shabbat Bechin, Hashem gave us the power to forget in order that it shouldn't affect us. Because if we remembered everything in our life, then we wouldn't be able to survive. So Hashem came to negative therapists. If you forgot, so they remind you everything that happened. So a side note I had to say. But in Shabbat Bechin, he says clearly that one of the presents of yours is the power of forget. And he says, because if you did remember everything, you'd be in big trouble. And he forgot. And but if he sees something, it's hard to get rid of. So here's the point. So if I just look at this guy, every time I see him, I'll remember what he said. So forget. How that happened? They used to help me. I tried. You learn, but this is the next few weeks when we go through this, you'll see. You get a little bit of a handle on what's going on. First of all, I realized it's the Yitzhahara, so I realized something is in there that's not good. What could be an apple looking guy's face? And I realized, I see him, I remember this, I really want to forget it. So I sat down and I forgot. I can't tell you what he said because I forgot, but it became a way, and I'm saying this also because this becomes a way of I was destined to be there for a while. This happened maybe the first or second year. And since then, I made a conscious effort. I heard a lot of crazy things that were stupid and things I didn't want to hear. I never turned around to see who spoke, who said it, because that's the way. In fact, I can't tell you. I heard a lot of things and I don't remember it, but Hashem, I'm not going to the therapist to find out. So in chapter 5, so this is what he's saying. Before you accept an emotion, just think for your seichel what this emotion is. This is an emotion that's helping you get close. This is an emotion that's going to help you get to Ratzon Hashem, page 5. Okay. It's an emotion that's going to bring you further Hashem, and everybody knows themselves. That's the point. Here's that word. He says like this. I'm going to read it in English. Again, it's not perfectly accurate, but it's enough. It's enough to get it over better than if I read it in Dutch and Kedish. Some people are able to follow. So he starts out and he says like this, chapter 5. I saw fit to clarify for you in this subject that some examples which will teach things I do not mention in order that people will watch out for them so that their hearts will be complete with Hashem. As it says in Mishlei, Yishma Chochem, Chochem will listen, V'yesef Lekach, and it will increase his understanding. So this idea is not just to say only this. The idea is I'm giving you something, use it, and use Chochem and add to it. And here he says, Omen, he said, it starts out, Ben Adam. You should know that the great arch enemy you have in this world is your own Yetzer. Yes, the Yetzer. If you learn further, the Yetzer comes, he means Yetzer Hora over here. Now, where is he? And he's not outside of you, he's inside of you. He's interwoven in the forces of your soul and intertwined in the order of your spirit. Because your neshama comes into your body. Hashem created a person different than any other being, where he created a person from physical and then he injected the neshama into the physical, right? He made the clay, and then he put in the neshama. So there's a chayis, there's a neshama, there's a nefesh, there's a physical life, and then there is the ruchnizik life, and the Hashem fuses it together. This neshama works in an environment of physical, So the same with the neshama, the seichel has its way of understanding things according to Torah. The physical life also is structured in a way that has its way of understanding physical. He associates with you in the guidance of your physical and spiritual senses. So when you want to figure something out, you have to know there is a table and there's two advisors there. There's not only one advisor, there's two advisors there. And he rules over the secrets of your soul. It means he knows your strengths and your weaknesses and what is hidden from you, and he's your advisor in all your movements, whether visible or invisible, that you wish to do. He lies in wait. Not what he says. What's the problem being an advisor? Let me say it like very simple, and you'll see it. The mamash works out also. A lot of times when you see where people talk, and they'll say this is a, the Torah says something, and even the goy understands it. Also, the goy agrees with it. And if you read this, the goyim say the same thing. Somehow, the person we're talking about takes advice also from the goyim. Goy says it, I understand it. I agree with it. Now, of course, I'm doing it as the Eibushter wants, but the Goy understands it also. So what's happening? You're actually inviting the Goy into the decision process. Now, this is not mine, this I learned. So the Yetzer Hara will start out, the problem being as an advisor at a table, because the Yetzer Hara starts out, he starts out telling you things that he agrees with later. Yeah, you have to do a mitzvah. Of course, I agree with that. I agree with this, and I agree with that. What does he really want? Once you start relying on his agreement to do mitzvahs, then when he knows what's really important, why you were created, when the real mitzvah comes up, but which you're struggling with, mitzvah will go, I don't agree with that. And mitzvah, you don't want to do. Because if you want with the whole halacha, I'm doing Ratzon Hashem, I only want to do that. What does Hashem tell me to do? I'm doing it. I don't care. God doesn't agree. God agrees. God doesn't agree. Mishnah Negeya. But if I relied on this advice, right? So when he starts arguing against me, I got a problem. I balk. I pause. Maybe I don't do it even. I'm ashamed of doing it because, sneeze is so nice, even going like, so it's in style. What happens when it's not in style? If now, it doesn't mean that you can't bring in the fact that the kalkfot of a smell of klima, but this works in a lot of ways. It worked in, when they attacked shechita and agri processes, they attacked it actually because they wanted a seat on the table, as I call it. They wanted to be part of the conversation, how to shechita, and since people present shechita as a humane way of shechting mitamol, they can also talk about humane. Is it humane? So I told them, is that humane? Shechita is about doing Ratzon Hashem. It's a mitzvah. It's only by the table, only Rabban can sit. No humane people. Humane people should be like, go ahead, we talk religion. And that's what saved it, because in America, Shechita is protected by religion. So, but if you try to, they try to move it, actually, Mamash was very visible. They try to move it out of the realm of religion, move it in the realm of humane. And once you're there, boom, then he got you. So this is what he means that it says over here. He is your advisor in all your movements, whether visible or invisible, you wish to do. So he's an advisor. The first thing is stop making him an advisor. Of course, you live in a physical world, and of course you want to look nice, and you want to look presentable, and you want to look attractive. Alle gute Sachen. But not because Goyim are doing it. Not because even the Goy agrees that this is in style today, because when the style goes out of there, it's not, you got a problem. You talk about Shechita, you can talk about it humane. But you're not shechting because it's humane. Yes, what everything Hashem does is right and good, and it's even humane, I can understand it also. But don't tell me, don't make him your advisor. But he is your advisor. He lies in wait, watching your steps to lead you. The idea of all this is to understand how he works, and when he works, how he works, and that's how you can identify who he is. Because otherwise, being is integrated in your way of thinking is hard to identify, unless he comes to you and says clearly, do an Aveda. Against what Eibush the ones, then you see it's harder. You tell you eat today, Hashem, you see it's harder. But when it comes more subtle, when he tries to take over your life in a subtle way, which is the beginning of the end, you can't recognize so much. That's why he's explaining us how this Yetzer works. First, he's identifying that we have a Yetzer. That's the first thing. And actually, why is that so important? Because in today, very little is discussed about this. But maybe in first grade, second grade, I don't know. But clearly, as the grades get higher, how do I know this? Because I'm speaking to young people, they never mention that's Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. It's not a conversation, but it should be part of a conversation. We have a Yetzer Tov. Again, Yetzer means rotten. I want, but why do I want Tov? Because I understand also. It comes from the neshama. Why do I want bad? Because I have a physical existence, which is close to physical and doesn't care about that. It doesn't know about the Eibushter. So when I know that, then I can understand myself better. How come? Why one day I'm upbeat and I'm doing good and I'm happy to do a mitzvah all I fall into a rut? Well, one day this heart was giving you a hard time, another day it's not giving you a hard time. And it's also part of a plan. Right? So he says, again, you look away from him. He lies in wait, watching your steps that you lead you astray. You're asleep to him and he's awake to you. He's not paying attention. Pay attention. You have it. Whether you know or don't know it, the Yetzirah is actively involved in your life. That's the purpose of our learning this. And this undoes B'tochen, because as a person, okay, how does it work? People work on the B'tochen and they learn B'shar B'tochen and they get taka. And mitzvah, they have a fear. And they have a fear. They have a bad day and they feel that suddenly, or that means my betachon wasn't real, because I was presented with the situation and I didn't act betachon, even though I understood that I should act this way. And then what happened there? No, you have betachon. What happened there is you weren't careful and the Yetzirah got in and he's throwing you questions, as you see in a second. That's what he does. So it's not that you don't have betachon. It means that now that the Yetzirah sees that you are actively working with your Yetzer Tov, because there's a battle going on between the two. That's the whole purpose of our life. Hashem wants us to turn the darkness into light. So as your life's getting stronger, the Yetzirah is coming at you again. So what do you finish the day with? I am Baruch Hashem good. I have Yetzer Tov. My Aveda is good. And the fact that I have a challenge doesn't not indicative that I am no good. Not no Yetzirah. You see this all the time by children. Having a good year's mitzvah, they fall into a challenge of and they think, oh, what do I do? 2 years I'm learning good, 3 years I'm learning good, and mitzvah I have, that means that my learning is no good. No, it means every Yetzirah. That's all it means. It's normal. This is a normal, and that's what Hashem wants of us. Hashem wants us live in a world with this darkness and overcome it and make the right bechira, right choice of doing a mitzvah. So he lies in wait, watching your steps lead you astray, and you're asleep to him. He's awake to you, so he's there, whether you know it or not, right? Then you look away from him, but he's not away from you. He masks himself as your friend. Yetzirah never comes over to you and says, I'm your archenemy, and I'm trying to kill you, and have a great idea for you. Because if he said that, you wouldn't listen to him. So he masks his friend and pretends to show love. He enters your inner circle of close friends and advisors. From his gestures and size, it appears that he's running through your will, but in fact, he's shooting the arrows at you to kill you. Now, future for end of the living. When I was reading this, I found this very shocking, because it's not that he wants to get you one little step off the derech, but the ultimate goal of Yetzirah is partially to kill the person. And you watch some people, they start following Yetzirah, thinking that they have a better life by doing it. Initially, maybe they think they're having it, but the goal of Yetzirah is to get this guy in Gansan, a druggy, and some sugar to mamsh to kill him. That's the goal, and that's what he's saying it. As if not, huh? No. The neshama is Yetzirah Tov, and the Yetzirah is the goof. The physical existence.
Are you like, let's say someone's having a bad day and starting to have to get out of that rock, like that day. But to me, I always think like my emotions are also from Hashem. Like something's like,
when
I have to just go through this and tomorrow will be a better day.
When you say emotions are for Hashem, what is suggesting? Hashem is putting to me bad emotions?
Yeah, it's an assumption.
Sure.
It's like an assumption.
No, it's not
Hashem. It's not Hashem. It's not Hashem.
Yeah, Hashem sending you the negative emotion as a challenge, as an
Hashem is allowing the Yetzirah to send you, but she's saying it's a good, okay, to have it. Hashem is sending the Yetzirah for you to reject it. Not there's a purpose there. He's not the Yetzirah. He's not that bad emotion. That bad emotion is something that you have to reject. You can't do it today, do it tomorrow. I mean, you talk specifically, but a bad emotion, I heard like when Hashem gave it to you. Hashem gave you Yetzirah with bad emotions, but the job from you to with that, with the, what you're supposed to do with it,
I'm supposed to continue on my day, even though I'm feeling that way. So he says,
in order to undo a bad emotion is to understand the situation that you, why are you having a bad emotion? Because something's going on in your day that Yetzirah is feeding off. And pulling you down or up, whatever he's doing. You met a bad friend that wants to go somewhere you shouldn't be going. Whatever's going on over there. So he brought some sichucha. Take a counsel of sichucha. They realize I just met this situation. My job is to reject it. To say no, I don't want to go.
Found the first most helpful.
If I'm
I used to not be able to identify when I'm down, but it's to her. Now yeah. I can identify that he's trying to bring me down.
He's falling into depression. So. Okay. I thought you said to be accepted, but you have to realize that the depressing day, a depression comes to Yetzirah. And if you can deal with it, if you can push it away, if you can't, tomorrow will be a better day.
I'm not used to say it's not there to be in a bad mood.
Yeah.
We didn't like that.
You didn't like
but
that.
But that's what it means, yeah. Obviously.
Well, another way of saying it.
Not there to be in a bad mood.
Another way of saying it is, yeah. Perfect, perfect.
Yeah,
but you okay. I'm back up a second. I wasn't accept, I don't say your question. What was said here that's different than what you're saying?
I feel that I'm feeling down, like I just I'm not opening up my siddur like the way I want to. I'm not saying as much to Hallam as much as I want to.
Yeah.
I feel, but I'm just going through my day on a low, low way.
Okay. That's in the Mrs. I say. The Mrs. Lay says that. Give me an example. Well, you don't have to give me an example. If you want to give an A example.
It's like being in a bad mood. Like I'm
just
ladies are different
men,
different things.
Okay, so have hold that idea. So what our Torah is teaching us is actually how to deal with these things. Let's learn a little further, and maybe you can glean a little bit more than just saying some people when they have a bad mood go to sleep and then you wake up. That's a strategy.
Sometimes people are in bad mood and they go to sleep.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's a good idea. Also, yeah, I'm asking you.
I find identifying it, and then you think of
it. Okay.
And let me also, if the bad mood comes from, let's say, a mitzvah that was any kind of mitzvah, and because it couldn't happen, it brings you into a bad mood.
How could a mitzvah bring us a bad mood?
No, if you can't do it.
So that's for sure. That's.
It depends where it leads you to.
So that clearly that bad mood is coming rather than saying tomorrow I'll be there. Anything that brings you to Asmus is no good. There's absolutely nothing that happens good with Asmus. Asmus is depression, and depression saps you from life, and it's always a tassa yates to get you there, because a person when he's depressed, he becomes able to do things that the Yetzirah can never get him to do otherwise. No, let's stay with identity. I guess we're getting into the conversation before letting Rabin Bach teach us. He's going to teach us now 10 strategies that Yetzirah uses. And he starts off here, and he fails here, he goes there. And I'd like to start these 10 strategies. He said like this. Well, among the strongest of his weapons is, we just spoke of depression. He doesn't mention depression as much as he discusses the idea of no knowledge. Among the strongest of his weapons, which he will fire through in the wage war with you, is the most being, is to try to cast doubt. On which doubt on what? On the things that you did.
Bottom of five.
I think you did to be true, and to confuse what is clear to you. So he is a master at confusion. And to confuse, because that's the only way he can do it. The truth is on your side. As a year, the truth is on your side. So he has to come down and undo that truth. And when he does that, is to confuse your mind and false thoughts with erroneous arguments, and to draw you away from what is for your benefit and to cause you to doubt what is clear to you in your faith and your religion. So, for example, the Shabbos, I asked one of the boys by the table, because they were talking that they were very, very well versed in the world of psychology and more. Yeah, not Nageya. So I asked them, how much do you know about your nefesh? How much do you know about your inner life? How much do you know about your intellectual and emotional capacities from Taylor? One guy says that because you can't say any better. He says minus zero. Somebody said, well, not much. I don't know. I think he said like a hit back, like, no, he told me. But minus zero. So I said, so how in the world are you going to be able to understand these things, the Taylor away, if everything you took is from the Goyish away? You don't even know, you haven't even idea of what the Torah is saying is true, and you're already adapting other beliefs that very well could be contrary to Torah, or could be a foundation that the Torah values suddenly fall apart. So yeah, as I suggest to listen, and we have a big discussion about some foundation in Torah. So what he does, he's saying he's confused. That's the point. He's not saying he knows yet anything. But a person knows there's a Yiddish, then a person knows there's a Torah, and a person knows there's a Yid. There's certain things that's clear to a Yid. Comes the Yitzhar and confuses him. How does he confuse him? And that's where he's going to start. He says like this, a type of six. If you will guide yourself from him and be ready for that, so now that you know that he uses confusion, so what are you going to do? You're going to have ready the weapons of your intellect to wage war with him. So what you're going to do is use your brain. You're going to open up a sefer. He's giving you the safe chibus of office, but I can tell you, you can walk to any perspective of a library, and you can find tens and tens and tens and tens of sfarim to help you. Of course, you can't learn them all, so you choose one. And this premonition, or two. And then when you know, you deflect his arrows away from you and you'll be saved and will escape from him with God's help. But if you leave your matters to him, if you let him tell you, oh, I can tell you about your nefesh, and this helps you, and this makes you happy, and this doesn't make you happy, and you have subconscious and interconscious, and you'll be drawn to his will, and he will not let you up with you till he destroys you from both worlds, uproots from both lands, as written about, and as written, he brings a pasuk. Okay, move down to low. I want to move a little ahead. And he says like this, three paragraphs from the bottom. It starts out, and it's a wonder, my brother, you see? It's a wonder, my brother, that for any enemy that one has, if one defeats him once or twice, he will back down from you and will not consider waging war again. It's true. If you ever had a fight with anybody, maybe not here, but boys do fight. But if you beat the guy up once, twice, three, four, five times, the guy stops. Fight those. Yeah. Okay. Now, thinking that your strength is greater than his, and he abandons the thoughts of defeating you and overpowering you. But the Yetzer is not satisfied with one battle or even 100 battles, whether he has defeated you or you have defeated him. Because if he defeats you, he'll slay you. And if you defeat him, he will lie in wait all the days to defeat you. So how do you make sense of this? Hashem creates the Yetzer, this thing of Nesoyin. The whole reason why Neshama comes down from the clarity of Gan Eden is to come into a world where the truth is hidden. And not only it's hidden, like I said last week, Chava was fooled by the Nachash because she didn't realize that Hashem created the Nachash in Gan Eden. And the Nachash's job was to fool and test her. That's the world we live in. And sadly, we don't live in Gan Eden. We're living a little bit lower than Gan Eden. So how much more so? There's a lot of Nachashim, a lot of snakes, a lot of scorpions. And this snake will always lie in wait to defeat you. So even if you defeat him one day, it doesn't mean that the next day he won't come back at you. And this is leading. Therefore, he says in the bottom of page 6, it's proper for you to be a god against him, to not fulfill the slightest of his requests. So he comes to you a lot of times, do a little thing, big deal. You feel like I'll make it easier, and you give in. Rather, let it be big in your eyes, and even the smallest victory over him, or the least increase of power over him, so that you will gain a step of feeding him higher and higher. For his lust to destroy you will soon return, and he will not be capable of standing up to you when you stand firm as is written. And then he talks about you shouldn't get scared, because you should know that his weakness is learning, and you can really turn him around. So let's start now on page 8. Let's start talking about what's his method of operation, where did he start from, and how does he continue? What we did learn, though,
weakness is learning, like as in the learning itself is a path against him, or the learning hard to do into a person at the bottom.
Both. So learning Torah itself is helps you get straight in the Shema, but specifically when you learn about Hashem's oneness and you should not these things specifically, you have specific answers to this question. He means specific. Uh-huh. But others what I'm talking about generally speaking, it's really both. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so here's how it works. And it's again, what's the purpose of this? I think it's say in your own life and say in the life of your children. If you can recognize what's going on. Monday night, somebody at the end of the share, one of the women shared with us that her younger, I think it was a son, she wanted him to get snuggle with us, and we got up in the morning. So sometimes yes, I didn't go, or he was bucking it. So she told him about this first one, the Avinu Shama. If you wash Negevas in the morning, you wash the tomb of your hands, when you go to Chayder, you'll be able to absorb the words of Teir from the Rebbe a lot easier. He saw that it's an 8-year-old kid. And since she told him that thing, she every morning he gets the Negevas. We always make things complicated. The kid's too small, the kid's too old. But this is a mother. It was very interesting. I think it's an amazing story. She had an issue, and where the kid didn't want to do it. So how'd she deal with it? She just told him what it says, the truth. Hasan Neshama, and the Neshama, it can work better in a goof that's not Tama. Gotta push it. So the Chazal tell us how to get it off. How would I know? How would you know? And then you take water, it's in your daim. If you take water and you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the tumor goes away. And then you can absorb Kedusha a lot easier. Take 8-year-old kid, started doing every single day. Eight. 8-year-old child. 8. 18 has a different problem. 18 knows the truth, but he's used to it. Yeah, this done. But the Emes, in a certain degree, your children are able to accept the truth because the Neshama just came down. They haven't been spoiled yet. They haven't been rotten. So you told them what they just learned in the Shemaim. But the Malach just told them, and they know they have a Neshama. But this is the first thing that the Yetzer Hara tries to attack is the ability that you have a Neshama. B'sayid, you're different. You're not like Goyim. B'sayid and Hasan Neshama. You have to keep it pure. And that's what he does the first thing. What was your question?
I think I'm speaking for a lot of women. I'm thinking it was every other was so hectic. I said, you know, the basic question is short. I thought about the Zara, be like, why is she? I said, how do they have time to do that? We don't have time to do it here. I don't think you actually do it there or miss it. We don't know which mitzvah to do first. And I feel it's very hard. But I think we're all like that. If you think about it, there's always so many mitzvahs that we have to do at the same time. Should we dive in first? Should we take care of our married kids? Should we make supper? Like, what should we do first? And I don't know which is the Yetzer Hara, which is the Yetzer
Hara. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I got it. But the idea is that if the next 2-3 times we'll get to the 10 steps, let's learn how he works, and you'll see a very interesting battle actually. And if you know what's going on, that's how you can actually continue. So the first thing he does for you is the first matter he will try to cast out of your mind, and will try to convince you is that the soul cannot exist without a body, and the soul perishes along with the body, and has no existence after death of the body. In other words, he's challenging the idea of neshama. He uses his imaginative arguments. You see, imaginative is a positive word. If you go into the Hebrew, the words he writes is demyonis. Now, demyonis can be imaginative, or demy can be, who knows English here? What's a demyon? Yeah, hallucination. A demyon is not imagination, a koponim. A dimyan is a very
creative and imaginary.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Imaginary, yeah.
So the guy wrote this doesn't English either. Okay. Imagine the arguments which don't hold if a man contemplates. That means it's an argument that sounds for a moment to be something because you can't see the nefesh. You can't see the nefesh. And when you can start poking fun at it. But the child knows that a lot of things in this world you can't see and they're there, especially our generation. And now that they're stronger. So, for example, everybody knows there's electricity. What? Everybody knows this. How do you know electricity is there? Do you know that till today, electricity was ever seen? We know electricity exists because what it does. We know that if we charge up something over there that makes the electrons or protons or whatever. I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but something like that. And the positive and negative runs through a wire, you get a shock. If you put it over here, you get a light bulb, right? So you know this there because of what it does. It's a pel de gezach to see it, to say I saw it. Atoms you can see. Electricity is achmozet nisht. What's the point? If you could see it, it's not to your naked eye. I'll call upon him. What my point is, to know something exists doesn't have to be seen the other way around. And we live in that environment. In the olden days, it was a question. If you didn't see it, how could you know it's there? Today's a stupid idea to say, if you don't forget, something you don't see is typically even more powerful. Take an atom. An atom you can't see. You can see it on a microscope, but you can't see with your eye. And the most powerful bomb comes from splitting the atom. You can make the most powerful force you can exert is that from this little atom that you can't see. And the v'chulu, wireless and wires.
Cordless phones.
So, things you can't see, and it's there in a very real way. So he comes with Meshuggah arguments. You can't see. How do you know? And after the body goes away, then the neshama is not needed. Fakert. The question is, how does a piece of meat live? Fakert has, and so therefore, so they adapt the outlook of the group of men which a verse describes, let us feast and drink because tomorrow we will die. That's what it really means. Since tomorrow you will die, you will be no more. What the Pekarba says, they think that the grave is a base monoslog. The grave is a shelter. The grave is not a shelter. The grave is just a place to put the body in. But the neshama goes to where the neshama came from and has to do with the bechashm. So be careful what you're doing. If I can't, the neshama is the one that lives forever. And the neshama is the one that exists going forward. And Mela, do those things that the neshama needs in the world of neshama. The same thing, a body needs things in this world to exist, needs food and clothing to exist in this world. The neshama needs its food and its clothing to exist in the world where it comes from. What is that? Teda mitzvah. Teda is the food, the mitzvah is the clothing. food meaning it gives us the koyach and the chayis to get life from Hashem in the world of neshamas, and the clothing means as clothing protects a person to be in an environment that is great and big, but extreme. Save the neshama. If the neshama wants to be able to connect Hashem, which is infinite, it needs the mitzvah, which allows the neshama to enjoy the infinite power of Hashem. Mm-hmm. So here he makes his point. So if you, what did he say? What did he say before? Take counsel from your seichel and every before you adopt anything the Yitzhar gives you, seichel. So if you're going to let him, talk, he is going to convince you of something which is not true. And the purpose, he gives you a purpose. The purpose of this is to induce you to focus on temporary pleasures versus permanent and eternal pleasures. And therefore, how are you supposed to knock him out of the box? As he tells you, if you take counsel with your understanding on this, you will distance from this outlook with clear proofs, which the early ones, which means the Svarim that was already talked about in Torah and the Rishonim, and Gainim, already brought, and which are mentioned in the words of the prophets that proves that punkt fakert than the Yitzhar is saying, so you reject them. But if you're not going to prepare, I want to say something about Neglevasa. The fight around Neglevasa is very important because the Neglevasa right away wants to bring a child to disagree with the Ruchnizik power. You don't see tumah on your hands, what are you washing your hands for? So the child who washes Neglevasa, by washing Neglevasa, is affirming the fact that there's a kechatumah, there's Yitzhara. You can't see it, but it's there. And by doing Zivri Chazal, I'm protecting myself. And fakert, you know, there's a famous joke my mother always likes to say, it was one of the worst things, and it's not trauma. My mother used to make me get Neglevasa every morning. I guess I go to bed, and she should take me to the sink. I was a little guy, she picked me up. I washed my hands, okay, good, cold water. And then she used to wash my face. I hated it. With a passion, I still love my mother, by the way, and I hated it so bad that I never did to my kids. I washed the hands. She with Kalter Vasa, like it woke me up for sure. But that's what you're supposed to wash your face and your eyes and your mouth. I'll call upon him. But Neglevasa, she's making a joke. She's making a joke. There was a guy who wanted to become applicators. He wanted to go off the derech. But he had the Yiras Shemaim. He couldn't enjoy life. Because it always bothered him. So his friend gave him an eitzah, drink Neglevasa, wash your hands, drink Neglevasa, and then that'll give you Ruach HaTumah, you'll start enjoying life. So what's the joke? The joke is that if you believe in Ruach HaTumah, so why are you applicators for Behemoth? You know, that's the joke. In other words, it's so embedded. The guy hates it. He wants to forget about the Eibishter. So how does he do it? He does tumah. What's tumah mean? There's kecha kedush, kecha tumah. So if you think kecha tumah, that means double is Eibishter. So what are you drinking tumah for? You can go to Tara. It's insane. But this is mamish. It's mamish is happening here. And my mother's always telling me this story. It's a good joke. I don't know what she got a kick out of the story. But yeah, she raised us, Baruch Hashem. We get in the Gavasa every single day. And they have a term for it. What have No. PTSD B1. Yeah. So what are they trying to do? What they're trying to do is take away. This is the first attack that each one has. I'm bringing it up. I'm not trying to be a wise guy here. When you will learn this, well, you have to understand over here, look what he says the next one. I've running out of time here, but look, when the Yetzirah abandons hope of casting doubts in your mind on this, because you answer him, he's not leaving you go, he will attempt to cast doubt of existence, of the Eibishter. But the first thing the Yetzirah comes and attacks and tries to diminish a child's or your belief in the Eibishter is first against the Neshama. And which means, if you want to fight this, the first thing you have to come to understand, you have a neshama. Atzibachatonu kolam. The Eibishter chose us from all nations. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and he chose us from all nations. And he gave us a Torah. Put it all together. It's the first thing, when we chose from all nations, we're different. We're not the same. We look the same. We have the same, looks like a physical existence, but the inner life is a neshama. And this neshama is for real, and therefore, if you come to me and tell me I should eat and enjoy physical pleasure at the expense of the neshama, you got to be crazy. Because why in the world would I want to do something for temporary when I'm giving it up eternal? Because let's say a person wants to eat not kosher food, because it's pleasurable, let's say. So what you want to enjoy life, there's plenty of kosher food to enjoy. You don't have to go to treif. In other words, I'm using this argument saying that the Eber is not saying abandon Gashmis. The Eber is not saying you can't enjoy physical life. The Eber still wants people to eat fakat, so the Shabbos, and the Eber wants the Shom Tov, and the Eber is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah actually to eat, and the Eber wants family life. The Eber still wants you to raise a family, have nachas and kids. So what's happening? Cup, the Eber doesn't want to enjoy, but the Eber still wants you to. You have an enjoyment that's eternal, an enjoyment that fuses Kedusha with physical. That's what he wants. And when somebody comes to you and says to you, there is a tumadika way of enjoying something, then you realize that's not really life, it's death. Because that the Eibusha does not with his tumma, and with his tumma is death. So why in the world would I, but it tastes good, yeah? But why would I want to do something that tastes good and then kill myself when I can do taste something that tastes good and live on forever? So the first thing the Yetzer Hara does, he comes to attack the idea of neshama. And okay, we'll stop over here because it's actually almost time. But that's the point he says. The Yetzer Hara never gives up. He has a question. I'm sorry, but yeah.
So I found today that people, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that example. I was talking about this, actually came up on Monday night. I don't know how it came up, but I have a good friend who came to my sukkah, and it happened a while ago. But it's true, I just told them again this sukkah, and his younger daughter to me looked like a little bit heavy. I mean, I don't know. But it seemed like this child was gaining weight without eating. I mean, she had a condition that was, and it bothered her and about it. The parents maybe more than her, and I'm not exactly sure how that works. But long story short, he was telling me how he's taking the doctor, and trying to find out why this is happening to his daughter. I don't know. When the person asked me a question, I'm not embarrassed. I'm close enough to put it that way. I asked him if he has full of vacuum in his house, full of stamp. And he got embarrassed for a second because he's a yeshiva boy. And he says, yeah. I says, why don't you try this? Stop eating cholavakim and watch, you'll get better.
Wow.
And that's what he did. He stopped eating cholavakim. And this stuff is a camp. He said, show me the grill. Yeah. So our physical existence. According to the doctors, I'm not a doctor. He was telling me, I don't know. Our ruchnius and our gashmi are intertwined. Talk about neshama. The neshama, you go into the Rebbe's, people go to the Rebbe for bracha, the Rebbe tell him, check your mezuzah. What does the mezuzah have to do? He has a condition. Everything. Because we're spiritual beings. Our spirituality comes into our gashmis. If something is wrong with gashmis, the first thing you're supposed to do is check your ruchnius.
How do you pinpoint?
Ami?
Yeah.
First of all, it bothered me that I didn't know he has this problem. And if it's talking about heavy and food, I mean, it wasn't too hard.
Hashem put it in the decision.
Yeah, Hashem put the idea in my head because I had a sneaking suspicion that's she mentioned this lady, but today people got lax in this whole of Yisrael thing, and maybe it's not the smartest thing to do.